You're listening to the Reach My City podcast. Download the exclusive Reach My City app on the Android Google Play Store and also the Apple App Store. Gain access to all our content 24/7. Consider it like having a personal evangelism and outreach assistant right at the palm of your hand. Find out more information at reachmycity.com.
You know, as an evangelist, many times I found that whether it be a funeral or someone had passed away in someone's life, you can't find sometimes a better moment to actually share the gospel with someone. Because the reason why is because we think death is going to happen to someone else. Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, one time said that we hear of people die suddenly and we fool ourselves to think that we will not suddenly die. And with us being right now just on the heels of Kobe Bryant's death, here's a celebrity who's famous, who's popular, rich, and one day he's playing basketball, he's teaching his daughter how to play basketball, the next day he's gone. He's gone from us. And death is something that, you know, many people push to the back of their mind until someone dies, like a celebrity. Just a few years ago, Robin Williams committed suicide. And, you know, think about JFK. At one moment, he's waving to adoring fans, and the next, he's shot, and he's standing before God in eternity. And the Word of God says in Hebrews 9:27 that it's appointed for a man to die once, and after this, the judgment. Think about this. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes how life is so transient, how everything's just vanity, that there's many things in life that we're working towards that really are not going to make much of a difference once we die. What is going to matter in this life? And David talked about life saying, you know, God, help me to number my days. You know, in the book of Proverbs, we see that the transient nature of our mortality and the fact that we're here one day, gone the next, like the grass in the ground that's here one day and then it withers away. And so 150,000 people die every 24 hours. That number fluctuates, but if you take that number, it's about one or two die every second, about 100 every minute, 6,000 every hour. That equals about 54 million every 12 months. Okay, so we think that it's going to happen to someone else, but when something happens like that in a person's life, death and our mortality and the nature of the fact that we're all going to face an appointment that we're going to have to keep, right? 10 out of 10 people die. It's the ultimate statistic, as Ray Comfort would say. And so when we're faced with that reality, sometimes it's the best time to hear the gospel because we're thinking of our own mortality and the fact that, you know, we're going to face God after we die, and what's going to happen next, you know. And so this story, I'm so excited for you to hear tonight. And so without further ado, I'm going to get right into that story with Jake Awarda, a good friend of mine who is a faithful evangelist, a faithful minister of the gospel that shares his faith everywhere he can with Reach My City. Very involved in our ministry, and we're so excited to have him. Has a great story himself, being reached by the gospel through a bus ministry, actually, a local church, going into where his apartment complex was, and picked him up, and he had the chance to hear the gospel being shared to him, and God saved him. So anyway, this story is incredible because we're going to find suicide, we're going to find college students, and a whole lot of them, like two busloads, and they're about to experience the gospel. Let's hear what Jake has to say. Hey, everyone. Welcome into the podcast. This is Coffee with Johnny Gaston, and I am joined tonight with me, Jake Awarda. How you doing, man?
Good, brother. How you doing today?
Dude, I'm great. I'm off work. I got a good cup of coffee. We got a baby over here staring at us. Jake is a dad, a new dad, and we got Gabe in the studio today. How's it, Gabe?
He is going to be, he's 6 months, actually.
Six months. And Gabe was a preemie baby, just like mine. How much did he weigh when he first came?
When he first came, he was 4 pounds on the diet.
Wow. Come on, man. That's awesome. So God's had his hand on him. Anyway, we're going to talk about something that happened this last Friday. If you guys don't know and don't follow our ministry just yet, you can download our free app by going to your app store, which is the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. You can go and type in Reach My City. You'll find our app. It's free 99. No hidden charges. It's completely free, and you can get all of our podcast, our TV show, our articles that we write, which we've just revamped and written some articles. We actually have one dropping tomorrow. In fact, when this podcast launches, you're going to probably be able to find that. And on Friday nights, what we do is we go to the local truck stop area, and we share the gospel. We do open air preaching. We also have a Friday night fellowship we offer for young adults. Something awesome happened, and we're going to let Jake kind of, you know, tell the story about really what unfolded. But just to kind of set it up, I was going to meet Jake to just kind of hang out, drink some coffee. At the truck stop is a Dunkin' Donuts as well as a Popeye's chicken. And so we're sitting there drinking coffee and just having a good time. And all of a sudden, two busloads of college students just rolled into the truck stop. Well, I had already given Jake and also our good friend Justin Bragg, you know, a stack of gospel tracts, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, nice big stack. And all of a sudden they walk in and I was like, hey guys, this is a perfect opportunity to get those gospel tracts passed out. I kind of put them on the spot. And, you know, the Word of God talks about how, you know, we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest to thrust forth the workers. So I always think sometimes when you're in outreach, you're almost being thrown into it.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Thrown into the fire.
You're just thrown into the fire. So I was like, hey, let's just throw them in. Sink or swim kind of situation.
Well, when there's a 911 call, there's no time to be ready. You just dive in.
Just dive right in. Gabe's going to talk to us a little bit tonight as well. You'll hear him in the background. Jake, if you got to get up and grab him, hey, that's cool. The audience will understand. But just kind of getting into the storyline. So they grabbed the tracks and they, you know, left and went into the area where all these college students were, and they started passing out gospel tracks like they were going out of style, like they were hotcakes. And it, you know, I want you to recount, you know, the rejections maybe you've gotten. You've gotten some people to, you know, accept the gospel track from you. Others were willing to listen. There was maybe a few times you actually had a dialogue and got a chance to get into the gospel. So Jake, as he's holding his little baby in his arms, going to tell you a little bit about what unfolded that night.
Yeah, so Johnny, when we were going, me and Justin, we approached the guys. We're getting ready. You're like, you ready to do this? Yeah, let's do this. So he was kind of motivating me. I was motivating him. And man, without that two-person party system going, I don't know how else we do it. So we went in and we had these huge dollar bill tracks. And man, let me tell you something. When you bring those dollar bill tracks to teenagers, it's like a light up in her eyes, a sparkle, like, I could get a new iPhone with this. No, that's not what it's for. That blue stripe is not real, and you don't need to get arrested. So
yeah, it's a $1 million bill.
It's a $1 million bill.
Yeah.
It's just a $1 million bill. It's not counterfeit. It's actually a gospel track.
Yeah.
And so it has the gospel, beautiful gospel message on the back, and that's what we explained to the teenagers. And they loved it, and several girls accepted it, several guys accepted it. And Justin actually walked in with me to the next part of the area, and there's more teenagers just flooding in to the building. Now, all these teenagers were coming from Auburn University.
Okay, so these are college students.
College.
Young adults, gotcha.
Yeah. And they're on their way to Montgomery because a friend of theirs had passed away due to suicide.
Wow.
And
what an open door to the gospel, man.
Yes. And even so, it even opens a door to God's sovereignty and God's just his providence, how he works the two and two together.
Amen.
He at that specific location, God's going to bring in a bus of kids from Auburn University. And right next door, there's evangelists.
There's two guys with stacks of gospel tracts ready to minister.
Just got the gospel tracts. Wow. And ready to mingle.
Yeah, to share the gospel and to talk about what happens after person dies.
Exactly. Right on time too.
Yeah. Now, did you get rejected at all?
I probably had a couple of guys that were not interested.
So they just said, I'm not interested.
Yeah. They try to give me actually some tracks back, and I kept telling them, hey, no. This is a gift.
Yeah.
This is a gift from me to you. He's like, yeah. Oh, well, I don't want it. There's actually this one guy who had a gospel track from our ministry, And Living Waters actually gives out these tracks too. It's a common objections to the faith. And these little yellow tracks has a quotation marks on the questions. And he missed those quotation marks. What he thought he read, he was reading, oh, well, God's not real. There's no heaven. There's no hell. Okay. I'm like, no, man. Those are not, you know, what we believe. Those are objections to other people that bring up those same objections to us, and we're countering that with the gospel and with answers and apologetics. He's like, okay, I see it now. The quotation marks. I'm like, yeah, the quotation marks. So anyway, I had two guys come up to me. One of them, he just downhearted, his countenance, his everything about him, his stature. He was really wanting to know something, get something. And in a way, he told me he wanted to thank me that we're doing this because he's trying to get back with God.
Wow.
And he was asking me a question. What do you think about organized religion? And so I did a little bit of study tonight. Organized religion is a thing where it's structured. It's under the control of a church where you have biblical elders, you have a pastor, and you have a large number. And you, just like sort of like of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, et cetera, et cetera. And this movement has sparked since 2010. There's a post, there's an article written by, I can't remember his name at the moment, but he written a book called Revolutionaries. And there's this new trend that's happening in the church to where kids and young people alike are leaving the churches and they're having miniature churches and they're having micro churches compared to the local God-given church, the established church of the New Testament. If you read in the book of Revelation, you'll see seven churches, seven churches that were written in Asia. And also, bless you. And one other church that was lukewarm, and they're so lukewarm that Jesus wanted to spew them out of his mouth. And so, but notice how the Son of Man never told the churches, never told the Christians, go and establish house churches, go establish private Bible studies. Not that that's a wrong thing, not that it's a bad thing, because Christians, the persecuted Christians in a persecuted church will do that often in times of persecution. Christians in Rome and in China, they establish underground Bible studies.
Oh, catacombs. Yeah. Go underground and worship.
They just worship. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. What's wrong is when you neglect the God-given church.
Yeah, that's God's designed for a believer to be pastored and nourished and even to bring, you know, good correction and training in righteousness and those things that we have a pastor in place and elders and all that's biblical. It's all founded by God. It's all his design. So I see what you're saying, definitely. So these you know, young adults were talking about, you know, basically doing their own thing and getting away from the church or whatever. Right. So you had that question asked. Now, I know that you did get a chance to share the gospel. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I asked him I noticed he said something, and you always want to pay attention to key words and key phrases, especially when dealing with people in general. And when he had brought up to me that he's trying to get back with God, I said, "Well, what is that like? Tell me a little bit more about that. When you say you're trying to get back with God, where exactly are you at in your faith? Are you regenerate? Are you true? Have you truly confessed Christ and repented of sin?" And he had told me he had done that at one point of his life, but he had gotten away and he slipped into drugs and alcohol and premarital sex and the like. And I told him, "Well, God is only one step away, and so is repentance. But one thing you have to ask yourself is, do you consider yourself a good person?" And he said, "Well, yes." I said, "Well, in light of God's law, we know that it's wrong to lie. If you lie one time, you're a liar. If you steal one time, you're a thief. Jesus said, if you look at a woman to lust for her, you have already committed adultery with her already in your heart. Just using God's name one time is blasphemy. And God gave you eyes to see, gave you ears to hear. He's given you life. He's given you everything that you can possibly enjoy. And we have our mothers and our fathers, our mothers who gave birth to us, but we don't use our mother's name for a curse word. Why is that? But we take God's most holy name. When Jesus on the mount and he prayed. He was teaching his disciples to pray. He said, "Hallowed be thy name." God's name is solo. God's name is alone. Hallowed be thy name. Thy name alone is holy. It is holy, holy, holy. Mm. And we drag the most precious name to earth. No, none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And we drag it through the dirt and add a four-letter curse word to it. And it's blasphemy. And so I knew that these students had to go. His friends were rushing him. But I told him in short, basically, we realized where we are in God's law. We were guilty. We broke the law, and Jesus paid the fine. Mm. This is what Jesus did. Jesus did came 2,000 years ago. He paid the price for sin, bore the wrath of God for you and I, so that we can have the hope of eternal life. And I would hope that you'd go home and think about this later. He had expressed to me that his friend who had passed away was a Catholic. I don't believe he asked me where my stance was, if he was going to heaven or not. I'm kind of glad he didn't ask me that. So,
well, when someone asks you that, a lot of times I don't focus on the person that's died. I focus on the person in front of me, because that the question becomes, well, where are you going to go?
Exactly.
Now that this person died, you know, does this make you think of your own mortality and the fact that after you die, you're going to face God? And like you said, faithfully sharing the law of God so they could see their sin. You know, the scriptures, Paul said, by the law comes a knowledge of sin. He said, no flesh shall be justified in his sight by the deeds of the law, because by the law comes a knowledge of sin. It says the law was our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And Paul said, when the commandment came, my sin became exceedingly sinful. So when we see this in Scripture, a clear understanding for the person you're sharing the gospel with, that they've sinned against God, shows then, once you find the answer to that, which is Christ on the cross,
amen,
which is a Savior, a sufficient substitute, then the person sees the kindness of God, which the Bible says leads men to repentance. So the purpose of sharing the law of God is we want that person to not only confess their sin, but forsake them. And that how does that person come to that point? Well, they have to be born again. And the Word of God makes it very clear that, without being born again, they're not going to see heaven. And so we're not asking for just a person to make a decision. We're preaching the gospel to them. We're telling them, repent, turn from your sin, and believe the gospel.
That's
place
right.
your trust in Him. So they were willing. One thing about your story that I love here, and I've said it time after time, is people are more willing to hear a gospel presentation than many times Christians are willing to actually share it.
That's right.
And it goes to show you that even when you get rejected, people say, I'm not interested, or, hey, man, I'm okay, or, nah, I don't want none of that. Or even they might turn around and say, hey, man, I don't appreciate what you're doing. I don't care for religion. Man, you turn around from that, it breaks your heart because you don't get that opportunity to share the gospel, but you just say something as they go, like, hey, man, I don't mean to offend you. I care for you. I want to make sure you spend eternity in heaven. I want to make sure I get this message to you. It's a good news. You can say something like that as they walk away, and you can still plant a seed, so to speak. It's a little seed, but you can do something.
That's right.
But the purpose, what I'm saying is, when you get rejected, you don't have to go see a counselor afterward. I mean, you're not hurt. I mean, you just walk away and go, oh, God, open their heart, God, soften their heart. Many people are fearful of rejection, and they never open their mouth. And so I love your story, the fact that, man, people did reject, but a lot of people were open, and they actually heard the gospel. And Gabe's telling us a little bit about that now.
He's getting excited.
That's right. So tell us a little bit more about, any final thoughts.
Final thoughts. He left me. What touched me is that their camaraderie for their friend, their care for their friend, that, and this guy specifically, his name was Edwards, and he showed up last minute to the conversation. Now I'm specifically praying not only for his friend, but Edwards as well. They showed compassion, and they showed care for their friend, and even the gospel tracts, even if that could be just a seed to bring them in
Amen.
To a saving faith,
Amen.
A faith that is solid, that took solid ground. I'm praying for them, and I'm praying for all those that heard and received the gospel that day, and I'm praying that God would open the doors to further the seed, to grow it,
Amen.
And to take root.
For God to cause the increase.
Exactly.
Well, the good thing is you bring those gospel tracts into their hands, and next thing you know, they bring them onto the bus, and they get passed around, and 100 people give or take, get to see and experience the gospel, and that seed gets planted in their heart, and God can use that seed, of course, on His time. You know, no man comes to the Father yet being drawn by Him, and so we know that it's God's will for us to preach the gospel to all people, and we want to be faithful to do that. So when you left that moment and you realized you just faithfully distributed all those gospel tracts, I just realized, man, I need to get Justin in here and get his side of the story. But, man, it's good to drink coffee with you and have you on the podcast. Hey, leave us out with some final thoughts here.
All right. Well, final thoughts, never be too timid or too shy to share the gospel, because where there's fear, there's greater love. And if you ever find yourself in a moment where you're too afraid, pray for more love. Pray for more love. Pray for and think about the cross. Think about all that Christ did for you and for me, the price that He had to pay, and for what He did for the lost. It'll stir up your emotions. It'll give you great motivation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and 2 that it's a mercy. It talks about the mercies of God. What is the mercies? The mercies all throughout the book of Romans, Paul expresses the gospel, what Christ did for us, being that we're sinners and we came to repentance through faith in Jesus Christ, and the motivation that we see looking at the cross. And looking at the cross, that is the greatest motivation for a lifetime of piety, to serve Christ all the days of your life.
Amen, amen. I want to just say this. Romans 5:1 says, "Now, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we now have peace with God, and now we've gained access into this grace in which now we stand." So if you're listening today, and maybe the gospel is a message fresh on your ears, and maybe you feel far from God, maybe even the fact that you never truly were saved, never truly repented and forsook your sins, maybe today is the day of salvation for you. That's what the Word of God says. And so examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith, and realize, man, you know, we're only justified by faith alone, by grace alone, according to the Word of God alone, to the glory of God alone, and by Christ alone. And we want you to fling yourself upon the mercy of the judge, which is God. And you certainly don't want to meet Him in court. you don't want to meet Him. The Word of God says that every mouth will be shut and the whole world become guilty before God. But He's now offered a peace treaty, basically. He wants to meet you outside of court, and that's where this grace is. And the grace of God is that if you will believe the gospel, place your implicit trust in Christ alone, repent of your sin, God will make you new on the inside. He'll grant you the gift of everlasting life, and you'll pass from death to life. And so thank you for listening to the podcast. As usual, this is Johnny, and I got Jacob Warder with me, if you didn't catch that name. And we've got some good cups of coffee from Dunkin' Donuts tonight, and we're excited about you listening in to the podcast. I also want you to know that we have another podcast available. If you're a podcast listener, you look up Reach My City Radio, and that's another podcast as well. And we have tons of episodes archived there. So God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to get involved in any type of outreach or evangelism training, be watching our Facebook page, Reach My City, or download our free app, which is Reach My City, on the App Store. God bless you. Look forward to being with you again.